Deuteronomy chapter number 30. We're going to start in verse number 11. Good to see everybody tonight. The house is full tonight, so praise the Lord for that. Probably didn't want to see me tonight, but it's good to see you guys. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse number 11. The Bible says, "For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, Who shall go up for us to heaven, and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, Who shall go over the sea for us, and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away, and worship other gods, and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this evening. Lord, thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I'm not worthy to stand here. Lord, I pray that you just help our preacher tonight. Lord, as he's away, I pray that you give him the power and the wisdom that he needs as he preaches. Lord, I pray that you'd fill these lips of clay, and I pray that you'd help me to just say only what you'd have me to. Lord, I pray that I'd just be a blessing and challenge to the people tonight, Lord, as I share with them just a thought, Lord, from the Bible, and just maybe something that they can take and ponder this week and think about throughout life even. Lord, I thank you just for your love for us and your grace and the way you take care of us. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to talk tonight about choices. In fact, I called it choices, choices, choices. And we all like choices. This is actually, preacher asked me Wednesday, he was working on his building, and he asked me Wednesday if I'd preach. I was like, sure. This is actually a children's church, like most of my messages, a children's church message, just modified. In the past few weeks, if the kids have been in children's church, I've been taking some of the, I call them slower months in children's church. You know, during the program, you know, we hammer salvation every single week. Consistently. And we do it, I mean, I'm not saying we don't preach salvation. You preach the gospel every week. But, you know, during the winter months, you kind of got the regular kids. And I guess I was kind of burdened that I want our kids, you know, sometimes they're going to leave at fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, and they're going to leave. But I think what they hear in church is going to stay with them. So I want, you know, and I'm preaching about truth in children's church right now. And I started 3 weeks ago, and we started back in the beginning with God creating the world, and God is all powerful, and God has, you know, God can do whatever he wants. And I wanted the kids with that realization, and about how God, you know, they're pumped full of evolution theories all the time. So I want them to realize how God created everything, and have that in their heart and in their mind. And then last week, this is what I'm going to preach tonight, and I talked about choices, and everybody, and I talked to kids even in children's church. You know, I have a kid that's misbehaving, and I'll pull them off to the side, and already they're indoctrinated with the idea that, well, Brother Chad, I didn't take my medicine this morning, or Brother Chad, and you guys hear that too. It's nothing nobody else in here doesn't hear, and Brother Chad, you just don't understand what, and it's like, no, you, and I tell the kids, you make the choice to sit upright in children's church. You make that choice. Your mom and dad's not here to make that choice for you. Brother Chad's job is not to make, it's your choice. You can decide. And, you know, the world wants to indoctrinate our young people, and as adults we're even influenced that, oh, you just don't have a choice in that. You're a subject of your circumstances. That's not true. That is absolutely not true. And these young people are being brainwashed in this theory. They literally are. If you've not messed with them, that is... Everything is, oh, they just flow along because they think they're just a product. They can make a decision. Doesn't matter what their parents have done. Doesn't matter what their grandparents have done. They can step up and make a decision to do what's right. Anyway, So we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. And then today didn't really go as well as I really thought. Some of you may have got, I know some of, I already had parents, did you cut your hand this morning? Because I had an illustration this morning, and it really was a pretty good illustration. It was just almost too good, and I couldn't pull the kids back into. Like, I had my hand all bandaged, and I talked about everyone's a sinner, is what I talked about this morning. And I had my hand bandaged up, and I'd peel off layers, and it was, like, pussy and all kinds of stuff. And the kids was, I mean, they really believed it. But I was talking about how God doesn't, you know, he hates that sin that we have in our lives. And even the best that we as Christians can do, or we as people, human beings can do, God sees that as filthy rags. And that's what we was talking about. But let's go back to choices. We all like choices, all right? How many in here does not like choices, okay? We go to our favorite fast food restaurant and whatever it might be, all right? So you go to your favorite fast food restaurant, and you might perhaps get the same thing. Brother Nathan, you might get a roasted turkey Subway sandwich with lettuce and mayonnaise and mustard. Am I close? And you go there every time, and you look at that beautiful menu that they've got up there, and you know what you get every time? The same thing. I do the same thing too. You know, you drive through McDonald's drive-thru, and they've got, you know, they're always coming out with some new sandwich. They got Clubhouse something or other, and they're coming out with some new sandwich, and yeah, you like choices. I mean, man, that looks great. And you're looking at that thing and the Big Macs and everything, and I get up to order to the window, you know? Give me two grilled onion cheddar burgers, a large Coke, and a small fry. Same thing. Every time. It's a dollar menu, all right? It's the same thing. Well, but you know what? You'd stop going there if that's the only thing that they carried. Because you want choices. Whether or not you pick something different all the time, it doesn't matter. You just want the opportunity to say, well, I want something different. All right, ladies, all right, you go to your closet, all right, and you open your closet up. Do you want to see the same outfit in your closet and the same pair of shoes? No, you don't want to see that, all right? You know, personally, and people that know me well, I don't care. I'll wear brown pants, a tan shirt, my work boots. My work boots are the most comfortable shoes I have. I'll wear them to church if I could get away with it. All right? I mean, they're great. And I'll wear that every same hat. I'll wear the same hat every day of the week. And it really doesn't bother me. Well, Brother Chad, are you concerned about, you know, my wife asked me, yeah, I'm getting ready for church, and she's like, you wore that suit last week. I don't care. You wore that suit the last time you preached. I don't care. Do any of you really remember what I wore last time I preached? I don't. All right? Maybe some of you ladies do. Brother, you're sitting back, Brother Chad, he wore that suit last time he preached. Oh my goodness. I don't care. I really don't. I mean, I could have one tie in my closet and wear the same tie all the time. It really does not bother me at all. Okay? But some people just gotta have choices. Okay? You gotta have those choices. You know, and this one, okay, this is me. You know, I want a different gun for everything. All right? You know, I don't want to kill. I can kill a coyote with the same gun I killed, you know, whatever else, but doesn't mean I want to. All right, I can kill a squirrel with a shotgun, and I can kill a coyote with a shotgun, and I can kill pretty much everything I got with a shotgun. But who wants to, you know, who wants to do that? There's the fun of that. Okay, so I go to my gun cabinet. I want to be full. All right, full of guns, and I want to have choices, options. All right, I want to have options with my ammunition. Okay, I don't want the same thing for everything. All right? I'm not shooting a duck with slugs. All right? I want to have options. Okay? I want to have choices. All right? Have you ever wondered? Let's go to Joshua chapter 24. And we're having some fun because you may not like the rest of it. So, Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, verse number 4. Let's start in verse number 14. Bible says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And you know, folks, God gives us a choice too. God gives us a choice. And I've often wondered this. And I think I have thought about it. And I think I really do have a logical answer to this. But why in the world, when God created man, when God created Adam and Eve, why in the world did he even give them a choice? Why did he give them a choice whether to not eat of the tree of good and evil? Why didn't he have his cherub sitting right there with a sword and didn't give them a choice? They couldn't eat. They couldn't eat of that fruit. Wonder why. Why did God have to allow that serpent? Because God did allow him to. God allowed that serpent. God could have said, no, you stay away from my prized creation. But he said, well, I guess. I wonder why. Because now we've got the sin curse. Now we all fall under the curse of sin. And because of that, we'll see later on, there are penalties for that. And now we all fall under. So why didn't God just say, no, I'm not allowing sin. This is a people, Adam and Eve. I want to fellowship with them and I want to keep them perfect. And they don't have a choice in this matter. Wonder why God didn't do that. Well, I'm going to tell you my opinion. Why didn't God just make everyone so that everyone just did good all the time? Okay, God created man for fellowship and for worship to himself. All right. In essence, if we were to create something that we wanted to love us, this is just an illustration. If I wanted to create something that I wanted to love me, the only way for me to be able to tell if that thing loved me was to give it an opportunity not to love me. That is the only way I could truly tell if that thing loved me. And that's what God did. God created man, and he said, I want this in such a bad way. I want mankind to love me and to fellowship with me and to spend time with me in the garden. But if God created robots, there wouldn't be a true love. Because there has to be a decision to love, or there has to be an option not to love before there can be a decision to love. Okay? So God created man with those choices. And God said, okay, he said, don't eat of that tree. And when Adam and Eve ate of that tree, they were showing God, we don't love you. But God had to give them a choice in order for them to be able to, if they didn't have a choice, they'd just be robots. And God didn't want a robot. God wanted somebody that would consciously choose to love him. You know, I consciously choose to love my wife, okay? I don't consciously choose to love everybody, okay? All right? But I consciously choose to love my wife, all right? If I had to love my wife, would my wife consider it really love? No. You know, they used to have, you know, the arranged marriages where, you know, one princess would marry the neighboring kingdom's son, okay? Well, they were arranged, they were set up for a purpose. And a lot of times they didn't love each other because they were forced to, okay? And God said, I want these people. The ultimate way that they can show me, what's the Bible say in 1 John? If you love me, keep my commandments. If ye love me, there's one thing. If you want to show your love to me, keep my commandments. That's all there is. And that's what God had in the very beginning. You could go from, I mean, basically the beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1, to 1 John, and probably even into Revelation. You can find this truth, if ye love me. So the only way, folks, that we as humans can show God that we love him is to keep his commandments. But God gives you and God gives me that choice. Okay, and we're going to talk about these choices tonight. You know, folks, I don't understand how the free will of man and the foreknowledge and perfect will of God can coexist. Now, if you caught that, and if you follow me with that, the free will of man, that means each and every one of you has the option, has the ability to choose for yourself whether you will serve God or whether you will not serve God. But how can that coexist with the foreknowledge of God? Because God knows everything, past, future, present. God knows everything. So how can God know? And I can't wrap my mind around it. And if I could, it wouldn't be God. You know, I'm man. I'm a mere human. Okay, I can't wrap my mind around what God has done. So I don't understand how all this happens. Okay, how can one person decide not to walk in the will of God? And maybe that person in their lifetime was supposed to be led, or was supposed to lead somebody to the Lord. So what happens to that person that was supposed to be led to the Lord? Well, I believe that God still makes provision for that person to hear about the gospel. Okay? And I believe that there's different ways that God orchestrates things. And I can't understand it. And you can't understand it. Okay? Nobody can understand it. But it's true. It's the truth about God. Okay? God allows us to choose so that we can show our love to Him. People choose to do what they want to do. I understand that people are influenced by their surroundings to choose certain things, but people don't have to be dictated by their surroundings. Okay, so that you can be influenced. Now, that's absolutely true. You can be 100% influenced, but you're not dictated. You choose. Yes, sir. Brother Chad, I don't understand. I just don't. That's just not fair. Wait a second. What are you choosing to do? Because you have a choice. I honestly preach it pretty hard. You preach to kids a little bit different, but I preached it pretty hard last week to the kids about choosing. Because I'm getting fed up about hearing excuses. Well, I just don't have a choice. You do have a choice. Get a backbone and make a choice to do what's right. Okay? You can have bad home situation. You have a great home situation. And we're going to talk about this. There's one of my points is, but you have to choose to do what's right. Okay? And I have to choose. And young people, and I know Sunday morning sometimes it's hectic in here, but one song, and I'm going to maybe sing it. You don't really want me to sing it, but we'll go through it a couple times tonight. I met Jesus at the crossroads. Where the? Two ways. Now, who met Jesus? I. Did your mom meet Jesus? See, I got these kids. Did your dad meet Jesus? Did your teacher meet Jesus? Who did? I met Jesus at the crossroads. And at some point, folks, it's you that have to meet Jesus at the crossroads. I met Jesus at the crossroads where the two ways meet. Satan, too, was standing there, and he said, lots and lots of pleasures I will give to you when? Today. And you know what? We so often choose our future. Eve chose the future of all of mankind on today. What she wanted in that instant, she wanted that piece of fruit. So she chose for all of mankind on fleshly appetites for today. And that's what most humans choose, is today. What do you want today? Well, I'm going to choose this because it satisfies me today. Yeah. Where the two ways meet, Satan too was standing there, and he said, come this way. Lots and lots of pleasures I will give to you today. But I said, no, there's Jesus here. See what he offers me. Down here my sins forgiven. Up there a home in heaven. It's the choices you make for God, folks, and young people. It's not today's choices as much as it is tomorrow's choices. You lived for today, and you'll reap today. You know what? In my personal opinion, I think that piece of fruit that Eve ate was probably the best tasting piece of fruit God ever created. But she enjoyed it in one day in probably less than 5 minutes. And we've been living with a sin curse for 6,000 years. Because she chose in one instant. She chose. The devil didn't force her. Adam didn't force her. God didn't force her. But God said, I want to give you an opportunity to choose. What are you going to choose? All right? I brought two books. And I'm going to use this illustration because it helped me understand this. I brought two books by the same author. Okay, I like reading this author. I read some books when I was younger. And I know this has gone way out, but I used to play, I had cowboys, like the little figurines when I was younger, all right? And I had the little army men, the plastic army men. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Okay? And you'd build all kinds of stuff to, you know, blow them up or put firecrackers on their backs and, you know, all kinds of stuff, okay? And then I had some of the bigger ones, the G.I. Joes, okay? And now, folks, this whole thing is, I don't know, I've seen some weird stuff. When I played with G.I. Joes, it was G.I. Joe, okay? It was just a regular army guy, okay? Now, they got some weird stuff, and I don't condone that. But one of the books I love to read, and one of the books when I was younger, I don't even know what they'd call it today, and they might even have, I think I've heard of movies that do this, but I would call it an alternate ending book. Has anybody ever read an alternate ending book? Okay, here's what it is, for those of you that don't know. Okay, G.I. Joe's going through the jungle, okay? And he's got his rifle, and you come to, and you're the author's writing this, and you come to a spot in the book, and it says G.I. Joe has to go, you know, he has to cross the river on a log, or G.I. Joe can go downstream and look for a better crossing. And you make the choice as a reader on what this character in your book does. And based upon your choice, the book will tell you, turn to page 47 if you choose the first one. Turn the next page if you choose the second one. And so as a reader, the author has written this book in such a way as a reader, you can choose what this character in this book does. So you choose what this character in this book does, and then you turn the page. And you know, almost inevitably, folks, I either fell in the river and got eaten by crocodiles. I drank water that was poisoned. I got, you know, I fell into some trap that the, you know, Viet Cong had set for me. All right. I died every single time I turned the page. And you know what I always wanted to do? What do? Well, fine, I'll just go back to where I was. And you go back to, you know, where you had that opportunity to choose again. And you say, well, that was a dummy decision. Let's go to, 46. Let's go over to 40. And then you're presented with another choice, you know, a couple pages later. So then you're like, oh, man. All right, so I'm going to go over here. Oh, seriously? So then you go back. And, you know, I'm using that as an illustration because, you know what, folks? The author wrote the book, and the author knows which way you ought to go. But he gives you the choice. Different circumstances are all written in the same book. But you are given the choice by the author to choose your destiny, if you would, your future. So you get to turn the page. And you know what? Most of the time, I guarantee, and I quit reading them. I was like, this is ridiculous. This is absolutely stupid. I'll just read a book where the, you know, inevitably these books, inevitably, you know, the good guy, yeah, he gets shot a couple times and he bleeds out halfway. But by the end of the book, he's all better and he wins. Okay? That's the way a book ought to finish. Okay? Not me laying on some riverbank in Vietnam bleeding to death. Okay? Because my mind, when I get into books, my mind gets into books, okay? I become the person in a book, all right? But you know, folks, life's not that way. You turn the page, and you can't go back to that page. That choice that you make, folks, when you turn that page, is the choice you live with. But there is good news. The author wrote a book. I have set before thee this day, blessing and cursing, life and death. If you love me, keep my... Sounds like a blessing. If you love me, keep my commandments. So God gives you a choice. Okay, I'm going to choose to do this. I'm going to choose to follow God, and I am promised blessing my life? Is it void of hardship? No. Is it void of trials? No. But I'm promised a blessed life if I choose to go this way. But if I choose to go this way, yeah, the devil offers me lots and lots of pleasures I will give to you today. And I can choose this life, but I can never go back to the place where I chose. You can never start from there again. And God wrote a book full of illustrations about people that chose good, bad, and they had to live with the consequences of their decisions. The choices you make, number one, will have an effect on your future. They will have an effect on your future. Some are temporary. Some are permanent. They are for the rest of your life. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man, that shall he also. You are left with this. You must reap the consequences of your sowing. There is no way out of it. When you turn that page in that book, you must continue. There is no going back and I'm going to redo this part of my life. There is none of that. You live with consequences of your decision. Number two, and these go quick, so don't worry. Every generation must make their own choices. You will not live by the choices your mom and dad make. I cannot live by the choices my mom and dad make. You have to make the choice for your generation. I want you to go to Joshua. Should be in Joshua chapter 24. Look at verse 29. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in the Mount Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gosh. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. Go to Judges. Should you be right there? Judges chapter 2, verse number 7. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gosh. And all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Folks, second generation right here. Second generation. The first generation told Joshua, we promise, Joshua, we'll serve God. We promise. We'll make our choice right now. We serve God. Second generation comes up, and they choose something different. Verse 14. Remember, life, death, blessing, cursing. 14. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said. Did you catch that? I skipped over that too fast. I'm sorry. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil. What's the next five words? As the Lord had said. This day I promise you, blessing, cursing, death, life. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. As the Lord had said, so it came to pass. In your life, in my life, as the Lord has said, so it will come to pass. And will continue. And as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Hey, who is the man after God's own heart in the Bible? David. He had some pretty rotten sons because they chose to be that way. Absalom chose to be rebellious. Absalom chose to commit all the wicked sins that he did. His daddy was a man after God's own heart who loved God, who kept God's commandments, but Absalom chose to do otherwise. You have to choose. Young people, you have to choose. Your mom and dad can't choose for you. Your pastor can't choose for you. Hey, if we could, we would. But on the other hand, if we could, it wouldn't show God that you loved him. So we can't. You have to. As adults, pastor would love to choose for you to love God and for you to serve God. But we can't, because you have to show God that you love him. Because if you're not given a choice, you can't show God that you love him. That's why you're presented with a choice. At some point, some of us were, and all you young kids, we ride on the convictions and the beliefs of our parents. But you have to develop them for yourself. Because as soon as you get out of here, and the best place to decide for yourself what you're going to do is in the protection. Because somebody says, wait, what are you doing? Because you're protected. What if you get out on yourself? You're on your own. At least you think you are. Well, I can make my own choices. Well, good luck. You have to live with the consequences of your choices too. Regardless of good or bad. You make good choices. This is encouragement to you too. If you make good choices, man, you got blessings coming. That's great. I mean, sometimes we take these type of messages. Brother Chad, he's against it. No, I'm not. Man, for those that are making great choices, the best of life is ahead of you. It is. All right? My mom and dad can't choose for me to do right, thus showing God my love for him. I must choose what is right to show God that I love him. Choices you make, number three, choices you make will impact others. So number one, the choices you make will have an effect on your future. Some are temporary and some are permanent. Number two, every generation must make their own choice. Number three, choices you make will impact others. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 24. Do you know my choice as a parent affects my children? My choices as an employee affects my employer. My choice as a husband affects my wife. 2 Samuel 24, I don't know if I told you what chapter. Second Samuel chapter 24. Hey, you know, Adam and Eve chose to sin, and Abel paid the consequences. They did. I mean, you could go through every person in the Bible and choices they make, whether good or bad, and look at what God's promises. That's what we don't understand. We can't get through our heads that what we read in the Bible is true. The promises that God has in the Bible concerning you do this and you get this. You do this and you get this. They're true. But we just don't, oh, that's not true. And then we what's the saying? The one thing we don't learn from history is that we learn nothing from history. Okay? Your choice as a young person will affect your friends. What about David and Jonathan? David's choice as a young person affected who his friends were. I'm sorry, 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse number 10. We're picking this story up because I don't have time to read the whole thing. But David just got done numbering the people. Now, that may seem like a petty thing, but it was an act of pride. Yes, sir. It was an act of pride for David to go number the people. Because then he could say, well, I have this many valiant men. So that's what it was. It was an act of pride. And God is going to judge him for this. And that's what we're getting ready to read. Verse number 10, 2 Samuel 24, 10. And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. Brother Chad, don't you know that when you make a choice in your life and you make the wrong choice and you sin against God, that all you got to do, you know, 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hey, that's a cop-out for most Christians. That doesn't mean that you won't live with the consequences of your choice. Well, I'll just go to God and ask for forgiveness. God, please forgive me. That's exactly what David done right here. God, I'm sorry.
He fell into conviction. He went to God. God, I've sinned. Please forgive me. Verse number 11. I think God forgave him. I really do. Because it's 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. I'm not saying God don't forgive your sins, but it doesn't mean you don't live with the consequences of your choice. Verse number 11. For when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, go and say unto David, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Interesting, huh? I offer thee three choices. You made a choice that was a bad choice. I'm giving you three choices. Well, of what, God? Of punishment. Yes, sir. But God, I prayed. I said, I'm sorry. I forgave you. Yes, sir. How many times my daughter is a classic example of this? This jewel right here that's not even listening. All right? Do you know what? She knows when she's in trouble. You know, she gets that. You know, she isn't eating her food. Okay, that's her big thing. She doesn't want to eat her food. And she'll spend an hour eating. Okay, it's like, no, we got to get done. Okay, we're not sitting here the whole time. So I'm like, Emily, get down and go to your bedroom. You know, I get that dad, that fatherly sternness. You know, well, inside you're kind of chuckling. Emily, get down and go to your bedroom. I eat. I'm sorry. I bet you are sorry. Get down and go to your bedroom. And that's what God's doing here. David's like, God, I'm sorry. Get down and go to the bedroom. I give you three choices. Three choices. 13. So dad came. Dad came and gave him a whooping. No. So Gad came to David and told him and said unto him, shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in the land, or wilt thou flee three months before thine enemies while they pursue thee, or that there be 3 days pestilence in thy land? Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man. Look at this, folks. I wish you'd get this. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even unto the time appointed, and there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people, it is enough. Stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Araunah, the Jebusite. One choice in a moment of pride. And he even told God he was sorry. Well, Brother Chad, I told God I was sorry. Congratulations. Now deal with the consequences. I'm not trying to be harsh here. But the Bible says, I set before thee this day blessing and cursing. Yes, sir. So deal with it. Yes, sir. 70,000 men, 70,000 ladies went to bed that night, yes, sir, without a husband beside them. Right. What about two, 210,000 children? Each family had three kids. 210,000 children went to bed that night without a daddy. Yes, sir. Because of one man's choice. Well, this is real. This is right. And we just, oh, it's no big deal. I'll just make a choice and then, you know, we'll see how it goes. We'll flip through here. There is no flipping back. You make the choice, you live with the choice. Now, God is the author. Praise the Lord. God is the author. Hey, you know, David made a lot of choices in life, and the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart, so I'm going to believe the Bible. I believe that David probably loved the Lord more than any of us really could ever comprehend. But David made some bummer choices. This is one of them. He cost 70,000 men their lives because he made a choice. What about the choice to stay home that one night when all of his troops went to battle? And everybody knocks David for that. I don't know. Maybe the guy was super sick. I don't know. And maybe he was up. And was there anything really wrong with him being up on top of his house? Not necessarily. And he saw something that he was presented with a choice. Yes, yep. And he chose the wrong way. So not only did a good man lose his life, his son later lost his life because he chose. He could have chose, oh my goodness, I need to walk away. God, forgive me. Please cleanse my mind. But that's not what he chose. That's not what he chose. On the other hand, David chose to go fight the Philistine. David could have been just like any of his other brothers. But David chose to go fight the Philistine. What if David would have been like his other brothers? He would have never been King David. Because he chose that day to go do what was right. David, what about when David could have killed King Saul several times? David chose not to kill King Saul. Your life, my life, is dictated by choices that we make. What are the choices that you will make? At the end of your life, this is a closing illustration, we'll be done. At the end of your life, what will people say about you? You know, that's based upon the choices that you make. The choices of who you talk to during the day. The choices of who you influence with your life. The only reason I'm really saying this, me and Brother Levi talked about this earlier today. I went to a funeral on, what night was that? Viewing. Monday night. Mike Barkus, my dad's boss that died. Everybody knew he died. He's a farmer, okay? Farmer. I went to DeBond Funeral Home Tuesday night. I don't know a whole lot of funeral homes in Terre Haute. I'm guessing that's probably one of the bigger, it's a pretty big funeral home in my opinion, but I'm just used to, you know, Jacksonville stuff. But it's a big funeral home, okay? I don't know what they see. I got there at 6 o'clock. Viewing was from 4 to 8. I got there at 6 o'clock, and it's right on Spring Hill, if you're familiar with it. I had to park on Spring Hill. The flooring store, Big Bob's Flooring, parking lot was full. Funeral home parking lot was full. I stood in line for 3 hours. I got there at 6 o'clock. I stood in line for 3 hours, and there was that many people again behind me for a guy's funeral. To me, it was a chance. It got me, what did one guy do? What choices did one guy make to influence so many people that people stand an hour for? Probably by the time those people got through, they'd been standing for 4 or 5 hours for just an ordinary guy, farmer. He's a Christian. He's a good Christian. Didn't believe everything we believe, but I mean, I believe he was saved and would give you the shirt off his back. Maybe that's one thing that people, selfless, hard worker. But you know why? I got to thinking, you know, it was choices that man made that influenced his life. Then what about maybe the next day? What about the funeral of maybe, I don't know who it was. I probably got funerals every day. Maybe there's 5 people that showed up. I don't know. I don't know how these things work. I went there. I didn't have stand in line. I went there once not too long ago. Didn't have stand in line at all. Just walked right up. Went and sat down for a while. Who will you influence with your life? What choices will you make? Because your decisions, your choices you make will impact others. 100%. Will impact others. One man's choice impacted 70,000. And not just casually. I call losing your life pretty drastic. Young people, our choices, my choice, your choice, it will determine your future. And God has given you, as the author, He has given you multiple choices. Okay, I made the choice to get saved. Good. Now turn to page 47. Here's your next choice. Okay, well, I'm presented with a choice of who to have for a friend. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Another choice. Okay, well, for this choice, let's go over here. I'm glad I chose good friends. Because if you looked at the bad friends, they're a snare, they're a pit, a strange woman, none that go unto her return again. Glad I made that choice. But you know, the person that made the other choice, they can never go back. Yeah, God gives grace. Praise the Lord for grace. And God gives, and you say, Brother Chad, you might be in here tonight, Brother Chad, I've made some bummer choices. And you know what? You have to live with some of it. You do. But God is a gracious God. Did you remember what the Bible said? The angel that had just got done destroying 70,000 came to Jerusalem and was about ready to wipe Jerusalem out. God said, wait a second. Stop. They've had enough. My daughter, I spank her sometimes, and sometimes you just tell. Sometimes you can tell when their heart's still, they still got a little bit of stand-up in there. And then sometimes you can tell, I can look at her, and I can break her heart without ever spanking her. And folks, God's a merciful God. God's a gracious God. But God is a just God. Full of compassion, full of mercy, but full of truth. And what is truth will be what is law. Brother Chad, I started to say this. Brother Chad, I've messed up. I've done some bummer things. Hey, get right with God. Now, I'm not saying you're not going to have to deal with some consequences. But when the next choice comes, don't make a series out of it. Wait, well, I'm presented with another choice. What was that? Blessing and cursing? Well, I chose cursing last time and see how that ended up for me. I'm going to choose blessing. I want to choose blessing. Let's bow our heads. I'm sorry we went long tonight, but let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Tonight, folks, honestly, it's just, like I say most nights, it's something to take with you, I think, more than anything. But maybe there's somebody in here tonight say, Brother Chad, I've made some pretty rotten decisions in my life. Well, I think you do need to do what David did. You needed to go to God and ask him to forgive you for those decisions. And turn around in the best way possible. Turn around and try to do the best you can. But you know, a lot of us are still looking at some pretty big decisions. I'm 20, I don't remember, 6. I got a lot of big decisions ahead of me in life. I don't want to, when I come to the end of my decision, look back and see that it adversely affected my children, adversely affected my church, adversely affected my country, adversely affected my community, adversely affected my ability to do something for God. I don't want to look back at that. I don't want to live a life of regret. Wonder if I would have chose what's right. I don't know who's here tonight. I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit do his work. That's his job, not mine. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Let's pray, and then we'll stand after we pray. Father, I pray that you just bless us tonight. Lord, you know my heart. Lord, you know that I see choices. I'm the observing type, I guess, God. And I see choices people make, and it's like, man. I see choices I've made, God, and it's like, why didn't I listen to your word? Why didn't I get in the Bible, get in the book, and see what the author had in mind for my life instead of just deciding what I want to do myself? God, I'm sorry for failing you in that. God, I want to do better. Lord, help me to make the right decisions in my life. Lord, help me to influence my life for others. Lord, I don't have any vain imaginations that there'd be a lot of people at my funeral, but Lord, when I die, I would want people to know that I tried to help them and I tried to influence their lives. And God, I pray that you just bless this invitation and however you see fit. And we'll thank you for just helping us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.